Today is found in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, concerning a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We find that Jesus went through Jericho. Jericho was a city 20 miles south of Jerusalem. It was about 6 miles from the River Jordan. This city was the second prominent city outside of Jerusalem in the time of Christ. This city, the second city, was destroyed by Titus in his siege of the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had come to Jericho and had cured 2 blind men of their blindness. And now he came into the city proper. And there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus who was the chief of the publicans, and he was rich. We have here mention made of a man that was the chief of the publicans. He was not just an ordinary publican, but he was chief general. The Romans, they gave out a certain amount of districts to certain men, and these men in turn gave out these districts to inferior men. This was called farming a revenue. This is the way that the Romans collected their taxes. And they would set these men over districts, and one would be the chief, and the others, they likewise were called ordinary publicans. This man, Zacchaeus, he was one then that was in authority. He was rich, this text says. He had been rich before he was a publican, because there was a certain amount of security necessary to put up to the Roman government before that they could have this position as chief general to distribute to the inferior publicans their districts. These publicans, they would pay to this chief general, and then they would take the chance of collecting the taxes from the people in the district where they lived. Many of these were extortionists. They were cruel. They were thieves. And they became wealthy through this. Now, Zacchaeus, he was wealthy before he ever became a publican. And in and through this, he likewise attained more wealth. And now Jesus came through this city, Jericho. Jesus always has a purpose wherever he goes. This man, Zacchaeus, was one that had been chosen from all eternity by God, and it was now the hour that he was to be saved. And we find that Zacchaeus, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not because of the press. He was little of stature. He sought to see Jesus. This was only curiosity on his part. Some think, probably it's true, that there was something going on in Zacchaeus. But the Bible doesn't teach us this. Most of the commentators believe that it was only pure curiosity. He sought to see him. He had heard probably of him and of the miracles that he had done, and he wanted to see what he looked like. He isn't any different than you and I. We are very curious too sometimes. You hear the president coming to a certain place near here or something. How many don't get in their cars and go down to see what he looks like? They've seen pictures of him, but they would like to see him. Any man of note, a governor, or somebody that's prominent and who has attained a lot of fame in this world, many people flock to see what this person looks like. His countenance probably is different, and they like to say after they've seen him, well, I seen him, I know what he looks like. This was more or less what Zacchaeus had in his mind, to see Jesus. But this man, he was hated and despised by almost everybody in Jericho, because he was a publican, and these publicans were noted to be extortionists, and the people cared not about this man. He was a Jew, but they hated him, they despised him. And he was small of stature. Naturally, all these people came to see what Jesus looked like. They gathered around the street, I suppose, that he was going down, and they flocked there, and Zacchaeus, he was short, and he couldn't get through this multitude of people. Furthermore, they wouldn't let him either. They didn't like him, and they detested him, and they probably would push him out of the way if he tried to squeeze between them. But he had so much curiosity to see Jesus that he hit on a plan that he would run down the street and he would climb up into a tree and then he would get a good view of Jesus. It says in this text that he couldn't see Jesus because of the press and he couldn't get near to Jesus. My hearers, it's a great blessing to have a desire to see Jesus when we come up to the house of God. Is that your desire? Have I some here that have a desire to meet with Jesus, to see Jesus, to hear Jesus? What a mercy to come to the communion table with such desires, earnest, sincere, and upright desires after Jesus. So this is a great blessing if we have this. Of course, this is by the grace of God. I'm not saying that Zacchaeus had the grace of God in his soul, but his curiosity got the best of him. He was so curious about seeing Jesus that he ran down ahead of the multitude. He didn't care because he was rich. That didn't make any difference to him. He wasn't too proud to climb up into a tree and to see Jesus. Probably the people laughed at him and thought he's just like a little boy, but that didn't disturb him any. He wanted to see who he was. Now, if you have any desire to see Jesus, my hearers, then you will experience something like Zacchaeus. He couldn't see him because of the press. There are many things that press a person that has, by the grace of God, a desire to see Jesus. The first thing that presses them is their sins. Their guilt. Oh, how terrible they feel themselves to be. And because of their sins and of their guilt, they can't get near to Jesus, they think. Then they have a heart filled with unbelief. Then they have a voice inside speaking to them and saying to them, "Why are your sins so long? Your sins are so many and they're so great. And you sinned over the top of your conscience. Oh, some lust, some passion, some temptation came before you and you fell headlong into it." This voice inside speaks to you and says, "It's no use for you trying to see Jesus. No use for you trying to seek him. You'll never find him anyway. You'll never see him." Now, this is something that presses a person. Have I some here that are being pressed this way? What a mercy if you are being pressed in this way. There's life going on in there. Now, this man, irrespective of what the other people thought, he wanted to see him. And if you have this in your heart, you will push through all difficulties, all obstacles that may be in the way. You will come and press through them by the grace of God. And there will be a time coming that you will see him. Zacchaeus, he hit on this plan to run down the street and to climb up into a sycamore tree. The sycamore tree is a beautiful tree. It has wide-spreading branches and beautiful leaves. They use these quite often in the eastern countries and plant them along the roadside. They plant them so that the streets will look beautiful. Now, this man then climbed up into a tree. He thought, "Well, when he comes along now, I'll have a good view of him. Then I can see what he looks like." He had never seen him. He didn't know what he looked like. You know, when Jesus was here upon earth, he didn't ride in a chariot that everybody could see him. He wasn't either carried by a lot of people like the Pope is, high above everybody else so you could see who he was. No, he was just like me and you. He was in amongst the crowd. You wouldn't even notice him. This is the way that he went through this world here below. And now this man, Zacchaeus, he was up in this tree. He had climbed up in this tree and he was waiting for Jesus to come along. And now when Jesus came down the street, He stopped at the bottom of the tree. He looked up at him. He knew he was there. You know, he knows you. He knows every movement that you make. He knows every thought that you think. He knows every desire that you have. There ain't anything that you and I can do outside of Jesus knowing it. He knew what this man was doing. There he was up in the tree. And Jesus stopped and he looked up at him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, come down, make haste. For this day I must abide at thy house. What a wonder this must have been to this man. Just picture it yourself. Suppose you were that person. You never seen Jesus, neither did I. Suppose we were up in a tree and he stopped and said, well, John or so-and-so, come on down out of the tree. Hurry up, I'm going to stay at your house today. Wouldn't you be surprised? You would say in the first place, how does he know I'm up in this tree? In the second place, you would say, how does he know my name? And in the third place, haste and come down, for I am going to abide at thy house. Here he did something that he never done before. He invited him into the house of this publican. Himself he invited. Zacchaeus didn't invite him. Oh, this man, Zacchaeus, he must have been bewildered. He must have thought right away, well, what's this? How does this man know me? How does he know I'm up in this tree? And he knows me by my name. And now he wants me to come down out of the tree, and he's going to stay at my house. I'm sure that the words that Jesus spake were accompanied with power divine. They went into his heart. When this came to him, immediately it came unto him, well, this is the Messiah. This is Jesus. The one that we've been looking for, that we've been expecting. This is the one that knows all things. He's proven it to me right here and now. And he came down out of the tree. He came down in haste. My hearers, no matter where you may be in this life, and what attainment you may have, how high you may be, what position you may have, and what thoughts you may have of yourself, and how proud you may be, when Jesus calls you, he will bring you down. He will bring you down on your knees, confessing your sins and your iniquities. He will give you the feel that you are the greatest, the chiefest, the vilest of sinners. Now, this we don't read in this experience of Zacchaeus, but it's in between the lines. Now, this man was brought down out of the tree. Have you been brought down, my hearers? Has God brought you down upon your knees with weeping and supplications? Has he brought you down likewise as he did Zacchaeus? For Zacchaeus, he was greatly humbled from being a rich man. We later find that he was taken and given to feel that his riches were from him. And now this man, he came down out of the tree and he received him joyfully. Oh, what a guest he had. He had the Lord of heaven and earth who invited himself into his house. I hear if he comes into your heart and makes your heart his temple, he makes your heart his house, you will receive him with joy. You will be so filled with wonder and amazement that he would have anything to do with the likes of you, that he would come and dwell in you, and that he would work in you, and that he would reveal unto you that he loved you, or you would wonder yourself away in this, my hearers. This is what took place with Zacchaeus. He received him joyfully. Oh, the joy, the happiness, the wonder, the amazement that he, of all the persons in the city of Jericho, was chosen by Christ. Oh, there were so many in this city, my hearers. They were such good people. They lived such good lives. They were Pharisees and they were strict. And they were like the rich young man that we were talking about last week, who had such good morals and who thought that he was ready to go to heaven. Now we have here an incident that Jesus had spoken to this rich young ruler. It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But here we have a rich man. He was rich. That didn't put Jesus out of the way in choosing him and in putting grace into his soul. The rich as well as the poor are called by Jesus. This man then was called. He was called out of the tree. He was given grace in his soul, and he received him into his house. Oh, what a change came over this man. This man, from being an extortioner, from being a thief, from being so rich and so proud, he was brought down and he was given the Spirit of Christ in his very soul. And now when he went into this house, then the Jews, they murmured and they said he had went into the house of, he had went in to be a guest of a man that was a sinner. The Jews, they murmured, they complained. They thought that this was entirely wrong. Why pick on this man? The worst man in the city of Jericho. The one that everybody hated. The one that didn't want to have anything to do with. This Jesus, he went into his house. Why didn't he come into our house? We are such religious people. We live such good lives. They can't say anything against us. Why don't he come into one of the Jews' house that are rulers in the synagogue? No, he picked on this man, the greatest sinner they thought in the city of Jericho, and he went into that house. My ears, you think all the Jews are dead yet? You think all those that murmur like these Jews did are gone? Let me tell you, I think you and I have something of this too. Just let someone, even out of our midst, there are some probably that live a reckless life, a careless life, a sinful life. I'm not picking on anyone in person in general, but there are such amongst us too. And now we know them, and should God now come into their hearts, should God give them grace, should God bring them down, should they begin to speak of the wonderful love of Christ, what do you think would happen? I think a lot of them would say, I don't believe it. Such a person. You think that that's true? I don't think so. You would murmur. You would say, well, look, we have a church full of people. There are so many that come every Sunday. You can't say anything about their lives. They're good living people. And then this one? I don't believe it. You know, we become angry with the sovereignty of God. We can't bow under it. God has his own people. Amongst all nations and all people, and sometimes they are the worst characters that you ever seen in your life that he picks on, and he chooses them, and he makes them an example of his grace, of his mercy. Has he done so to you? If he has, why, you'll need an eternity to praise him, to glorify him for what he has done for your immortal soul. For this man, said Jesus, and he then received him joyfully in his house. What a changed man he became. Oh, from probably a person that never prayed, he began to pray. He began to read the scriptures. Oh, he began to talk to his relatives, to his wife probably, if he had one. The scripture doesn't say. He began to talk to his children. Oh, what a different man he became. But now these Jews, they murmured, they complained. This is what they had against Jesus. You know, when he was here upon earth, he always went amongst harlots and publicans. He sat down with such and he ate with such. And this the Jews, they couldn't fathom. This they couldn't take. This is why they hated him. They couldn't believe that he was the Messiah, that he would mingle with such people. Oh, aren't you glad that he does? Have you ever learned yourself to be one? One of the worst? One of the baddest creatures that there are? Oh, my hearers. I said last week, there is none that doeth good. No, not one, because Jesus said, none is good. And if you learn yourself to be such, and he comes in, oh, my hearers, what a wonder, what a miracle. These are the kind of people that Jesus will have something to do with. Oh, I wish every one of you felt yourselves to be the chiefest, the greatest, the vilest of sinners. Oh, he has something in store for such. This man then said, Jesus, he's an example of the grace of God, of the sovereignty of God. Oh, that just this man had to be picked out of the tree and he had to come down. Oh, God is wonderful in his dealings, my hearers. One out of a family, one out of a city sometimes. That's all that you see. And they are brought on the way to Zion. And now these Jews murmuring and complaining, Zacchaeus, he stood before the Lord. And he said, Lord, the half of my goods I give unto the poor. And if I have, in and through being a publican, dealt very broadly with those, I will restore them fourfold. We see in this, my hearers, the true repentance of Zacchaeus. He was made immediately loose of his money, or he had no delight anymore in his riches. He said to the Lord that he would give half of his goods to the poor. He was then going to be a person that was going to glorify God with everything that he had. He was so loose, he would then distribute whatever he had, half of it, to those that were in need. And then if he had done anything to somebody by false accusation, that he had extorted too much money from them instead of taking the right amount, he would restore them fourfold. My hearers, when the grace of God comes into a person's heart, this is what takes place. They're made loose of the world. They're made loose of their riches. They're made loose of everything here below. And they are given to see that all that they have is in the hands of him. He has given it to them. And now they want to use it to his honor, to his glory. And if they have ever done anything wrong to somebody else, if they have stolen something that they shouldn't have, if they have exacted too much money from somebody for something that they sold, or some they have taken too much from widows or something, then such will go back to them. They will return back to that person, and they will try to make good with such creatures. It is true, we can't make amends for all the evils that we have done in this life. But if we haven't got the money like Zacchaeus has, we will go to their door. We will come to them and say, ask them to forgive us for what we have done against them. Or we seek to live in peace with all people if possible. This is the desire of the souls that are born again, that are given grace as Zacchaeus was given. He then would give half of his goods to the poor, and he would likewise restore fourfold to those who he had fraudulently deceived and taken too much from. Have you ever experienced something like that in your life, my hearers? Oh, when the grace of God comes into a person's heart, it makes him honest. It makes him sincere. It makes him upright. Oh, they want to live from now on before him. This man, Zacchaeus, he stood before the Lord. He spoke in the presence of all these Jews. He didn't care about them Jews, but he knew him. He stood before him. He was honest and sincere before Christ. He knew that the Lord knew his heart, and therefore he made this statement that he would do these things. And you may be sure that he did. And now Jesus said unto him, this day salvation is come unto this house, because he was a son of Abraham. And this man then, he was given salvation. Jesus Christ will be the author of salvation unto all his people. He is the salvation unto the ends of the earth. He himself was salvation, and he entered into his house. Salvation came outwardly even bodily into his house, because Jesus entered into it. But not only into his house, my hearers, but salvation came unto the heart of Zacchaeus. Oh, it entered into his very soul. And this man, he was then a Jew. He was of the seed of Abraham. But now he became not only a Jew and the seed of Abraham, but he became a true son of Abraham. He became one that had the same faith as Abraham. You all know the history of Abraham. Abraham, he was called out of the land of the Chaldees. He was called and sent into a land to which he never had went and which he didn't know. He immediately obeyed the call of God. He left the country and he took his father and he took his brother-in-law and his wife and his wife with him, and they went, not knowing where they were going. Zacchaeus, he was called out of the tree. He didn't know what was taking place with him. He came down and he left off. He obeyed his call. Abraham was a man of strong faith. He is typified in the scriptures, the father of the faithful. And this man, Abraham, he was called likewise to sacrifice much. No matter what trial or what fiery trial came up to before him, Abraham, he, by faith, accepted what God gave him to do, even as much as offering his own son Isaac as a sacrifice unto God. Faith carried him right to the very place where he was going to do it. So with this man, Zacchaeus, he left off, and he was willing to part with everything for Christ's sake. Oh, if Christ has come into your heart, my hearers, then you have also been given that grace to leave off, to forsake the world, to forsake every former friend, and to follow him in the way. This is what took place with Zacchaeus. Salvation came into his house because he was the son of Abraham. Oh, what a wonderful blessing this man had. What a change took place in the house of Zacchaeus. And now the Lord Jesus Christ said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those that are lost. Oh, this was then the mission of Jesus Christ into this world. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. The whole human race, in and through the fallen Adam, is lost. Every one of us are lost creatures. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those that are lost. Did he come to seek everybody? Does he save everybody? No, my hearers. There is, by the grace of God in this world, a seed chosen by God from all eternity. He has loved his people with an everlasting love, and they lie under the depths of the fall. They likewise are lost creatures. They are enemies. They are rebels against heaven. They are at war with heaven. They are friends with hell. This is the state and condition of every one of us. Oh, what a state we are in. And we are far from God by wicked works. But now the time comes that God sends forth his Spirit into the hearts of those whom he has chosen. And they likewise are lost creatures. They realize not that they are lost. Oh, if you realize that you were lost, my hearers, it would be so different with you. Take it in a natural sense. I was thinking this when I was studying this a little bit. And I was thinking, how many times haven't some of you people been lost naturally? When you were young, when you were a child, maybe you got into a place where you never had been. Maybe you were in the woods. Maybe you were in the mountains. And all of a sudden you didn't know which way to go anymore. You had no signs to direct you. You had nobody to go to ask. You were lost. Many times, you see, young children, little boys and girls, they get lost. Sometimes down the beach. There are so many millions of people on the beach. And all of a sudden, their children are gone. They don't know where they are. The children, likewise, they realize they've lost their parents. What do? They begin to cry. Some of them say, I want my mommy, I want my mommy. They don't know where it is. A lot of times you take them into a department store. A lot of times you hear over the sound system, such and such a child is up at this place. Let the mother come and pick it up. Child's lost. It's been crying. Have you ever been lost naturally? Didn't know which way to go? I'm just giving you an example in a natural sense. How that it goes when you actually and truly become lost.